Hello, No BS Women. It is I, Coach Kathy, coming to you on a Monday to talk some self-love. Talk some self-love. Specifically tonight, we're going to talk about your opinion of yourself and how it affects how you show up for your weight loss, for your jobs, for your family, for your relationships, and all the things. So come on in. I see okay. Come on in. Let's get situated. I'm going to talk to you for just a couple of minutes, and then we might coach for a few minutes. Okay. So for those of you who don't know me, if there are any newbies in the house, hello, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. I'm Kathy. I have been around No BS for a very long time. I actually met Corinne in 2013. So that would be 8 years ago when I started my weight loss journey. Took me about 18 months to lose my weight. And as I lost weight, she taught me how to walk, how to run, how to exercise, how to squat to a bench. Basically helped me improve my quality of life and my the strength of my legs to help me improve my knee pain. Eventually, she talked me into doing a half marathon, which she trained me for and participated with me. She, God love her, it had to have been grueling because I was a 4 minutes walk, 1 minute run girl, and it took us like almost 3.5 hours to do. I think my earrings are clicking. And shortly after that, I did my own private coaching with Coach Jane at the time. And Coach Jane was, instrumental in my journey for sure. I'm going to hang on just a second. I'm going to keep talking. So I spent about a year in private coaching. I learned how to do maintenance. I learned how to manage my brain. And I became a mentor, then a coach, then head coach. And now I do, I still coach, like, because I'm here. Still have a couple of private clients, not taking new ones, but the other girls are amazing, and they are. And I do a lot of work behind the scenes now, making sure you, No BS Women, are getting all the content that you are supposed to be getting in the right forms. And just, you know, doing amazing things. So let's talk tonight about your opinion of yourself. So last Monday, Coach MJ did an amazing call. If you haven't seen it, if anybody wants to put a link in the chat, you can. I'll put a link in the show notes about self-love assessment. And she went through the worksheet that's in the self-love workbook. She brought some people up. One of the things she said that just really, really nailed it for me is that a lot of times our opinions of other people are much higher than our opinions of ourselves. And what I mean by that is you love your kids and your family and your partners to distraction. You will do anything for them, right? Because you love them so much. You have so much love for these people that you are always doing for. Yet you don't have the same love for yourself. And you know that because you're always putting, I'll just include me here. We are always putting others in front of us. Others' needs, wants, desires in front of our own. So if we loved ourselves as much as we love all these other people, imagine how we would go through life. How our quality of life would be different, how we'd show up for ourselves in our weight loss, in our jobs, with our families, with our friends. I just think it's an incredible way to think about self-love. If we demonstrated the same love for ourselves that we demonstrate for other people, can you imagine how different things would be in our own lives? How much joy we would find, how much happiness we would find, rather than being downtrodden and sad and overwhelmed and some of the things that we struggle with. So I want you to really think on that as you think about your opinion of yourself. I even did a couple of think, feel, do's here just to talk through real quick. Okay. I think you can see my board. Up here at the top, we've got work, family, friends, whoever you are thinking about or in relation to yourself. And if you have a thought, I'll never be good enough, what's that feeling going to be like? Hopeless? Sad? Depressed? And when you feel depressed, sad, hopeless, how are you showing up? What are you doing? Probably not a lot. Probably a lot of negative self-talk. Probably a lot of eating to distract, right? But if you think, I'm learning to love me, I mean, I'm not even talking about, I'm the greatest thing ever. Just talking about taking the temperature down a little bit to, I'm learning to love myself. I'm doing self-love work. That feeling is not sad, hopeless, and depressed. It's more hopeful. It's more forward-thinking. It's more affection, contentment. And when you feel hopeful, content, your do line is different. You start learning ways you can show up for yourself. You start making a plan and making it doable. You start assessing at night without jumping down the self-judgment hole. You start being the scientist rather than the judge. So just think about just these two random thoughts and how they compare when it comes to your opinion of yourself, right? So I wanted to share that with you. I'm learning to love me. I think that's our work every single day. None of us is going to love ourselves unconditionally every single day, but we can work on it every single day. Some days we can love ourselves unconditionally. That's a beautiful thing. Some days we can't. So I want to read. This is one of my favorite books. Can y'all see this? You Are a Badass, Jen Sincero. Okay. This is actually our book club book for March. So next month, this month we're doing The Body is Not an Apology. Next month we're doing You Are a Badass. This is one of my favorite books. I was advocating for this book. Y'all, you have got to do this book. Okay. On page 55, it's one of my favorite quotes ever, and I will try not to cry when I read it. But I can feel them coming, y'all. This really spoke to me, so I hope it speaks to you too. It's under the heading, Appreciate How Special You Are. And it says, there will never be anyone exactly like you. You were given special gifts and talents to share with the world. And even though everybody has special gifts and talents, no one will use theirs quite the same way you do. You have a way of being in the world and a perspective that's unique to you. You are the only one who thinks your thoughts the way you think them. You've created your own unique reality and are living your life according to your own unique path. You are the only you that will ever be. You are kind of a big deal. So how cool is that? If you can hold the space for yourself, meaning if you can reflect on your thoughts about yourself without judging them, you can get to work on improving them. So again, this book is You Are a Badass, Jen Sincero. It's on Audible also. If you like recorded books, she's hysterical as she reads it. And one of my favorites, and it's our March book study book. Okay, so that's what I have for you. 10 short minutes. I'm not a big talker. So I will coach tonight. There are some hands raised. If you want to be coached on your thoughts about yourself, I'm here. Let's do it. If you want to tell me some of the work that you're doing on your thoughts about yourself, that would be amazing as well. If you want to just give me, raise your hand and give me a success story about how much you've improved your thoughts about yourself, I think that's amazing too. So let's keep it to that topic, okay? So that we can keep this in the self-love course. All right, let's see who we've got over here and we'll get started. Teresa, you are first.
Hi.
How are you?
Nervous. I've never been coached, so.
You haven't?
Really overwhelmed, yes. Topic this morning and decided that I really wanted to join the call.
Okay. So tell me what you're coaching on.
Yeah. I never listened to any of the Zooms live. I listened to them all on podcast after the fact. So, but the idea of talking about kind of self-opinion really resonated with me. It's an area I've been working on a lot since camp in October, and you know, kind of really diving into some of those thoughts about, you know, worth, self-doubts, you know, and that type of thing, and even just the think, feel, do that you just did, you know, really resonated for sure in terms of that idea of like I'm learning to love myself and stuff like that. So, you know, I think there's a lot of weight, like, or a lot of thoughts come to mind about the just self-doubt and self-worth and thinking I need to be perfect or I need to do more or I need to be better or I have to have like accomplishments to kind of prove to myself my worth. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
So tell me this, when you say I need to do more, how does that make you feel?
It a little bit driven, but a little bit never ending, I guess.
Okay, so this is so good. I'm so glad you brought this up. And I want, seriously, I feel like Corinne, I want everybody to listen. When you say I need to do more, you just told me it has two different feelings. One of it's driven, right? Mm-hmm. And the other one is, what was the other one?
I said, what did I just say? I think maybe exhausting.
Never. I think you said never ending.
Never.
Right. Yeah. Well, let's use exhausting. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is one of those, I call these sneaky thoughts. On the surface, it sounds really good. I need to do more. You know, I'm ready to whatever. But what's underneath it is exhausted. Okay. So when you think I need to do more and your shoulders kind of slump, it's kind of like, oh, I need to do more, right? Your posture slumps, exhausted. Mm-hmm. When you feel exhausted, what are you doing?
I always struggle a little bit with the action line, a little mm-hmm. bit. I'd say, probably the biggest thing, like looking for more to do, right? Like,
and when you feel exhausted, you're looking for more to do. No, or when you're exhausted, are you, I'm going to tell you what I do yeah. when I'm exhausted. I whine. I'm so tired. I just don't know if I can do anymore. I mean, I do. And yeah. then I, on the back end of that, I beat myself up because I'm still not doing more, even though I need to do more.
Right. Yeah. Like it becomes more of a need than I want to do.
Yes.
Yeah. That sneaks in there for sure.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. If you really feel driven, that's more of a, I'm ready to do more. Mm-hmm. Right. Rather than an, I need to do more.
Right. Right.
So it becomes just that little change in your own, in the words that you're using and being really aware and paying close attention to how they actually feel, how the words feel. So when you say, I need to do more, just make sure it's not one of those sneaky thoughts that has one of those exhausted right. underneath it, right?
Right? Yeah.
When you say, I'm ready to do more, mm-hmm. I'm excited to do more, something like that, that feels mm-hmm. totally different with it, just that one little word shift.
Right? Yeah, and sometimes I try to use, I'm curious, mm-hmm. you know, about what else or, you know, both levels or, yeah.
Then the thought, I need to do more, comes from that place that in the back of your mind where you're not doing enough. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Because that's what it means, right? I need to do more. If you were to say, because
I'm not doing enough. Yeah.
I'm not doing enough. That's where your opinion of yourself comes in.
Right.
Right. That's the I'm not doing enough part.
Yeah.
And when you pull
or
that.
Because apart, I need to be perfect.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, to be perfect, you have to do all the things. You have to do them perfectly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And nobody's ever going to accomplish that. That's mm-hmm. a standard we set for ourselves. That's just not reasonable.
Yeah.
Not doable, realistic, mm-hmm. anything, any of those words. It's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah,
it's kind of like the thought. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the thought, I'm doing my best. Mm-hmm. Does I'm doing my best really feel good? No, it feels like I'm yearning for you to agree with me and validate me.
Right?
Right? Mm-hmm. So this is where journaling comes into play and really rereading and thinking about the sentences that you wrote and whether or not you like how they make you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we've already decided I need to do more and I need to do better. Leave you not feeling so great.
Right. Yeah.
But something like I'm learning to do more or I'm ready to do more
mm-hmm.
feels a little bit better.
Yep. And I'm curious.
Right. Awesome. And it helps your self-concept. It helps you mm-hmm. feel better about yourself, you know, mm-hmm. in the long run. Because when I'm ready to do more, if you put a because on the end of that, it's because, you know, I want to feel better about myself. I want right. to yeah. show up in a better way. And that's exciting. You know, I want to, I'm ready to show up as my best self. I'm ready to find her. My future self is right over there. And I'm ready to see what I can do to become her.
Right. Yeah. I really like that idea to like add that because to really help get to that next level of understanding on the
yes.
thoughts.
Yeah. Yes. It's a big thing. The mm-hmm. next level of understanding that it kind of defines for you which direction the thought's going, whether it's making you feel on the good side or making you feel not so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can definitely use that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this, I would have a feeling. I have a feeling that your opinion of yourself that you need to be perfect is probably, you know, if I were to ask for a show of hands in the, you know, the participants. Not that y'all don't raise your hand. There's probably a lot of them.
Yeah.
Why do you think we need to be perfect?
I think it comes from kind of insecurity and self-doubt. Mm-hmm. Would be my perspective. I think a little bit about. It's an inherent belief of not being good enough, right? So therefore you need to be perfect or be better, to be worthy, right? So it comes from this, you know, sort of, or I look or I try to dig into this idea of like, I'm not worthy.
Okay. So mm-hmm. do you think you have to be perfect to be worthy?
I would say that little old shitty definitely does.
Yeah. So maybe your brain's lying to you.
Yeah.
Maybe you're worthy right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Imperfectly worthy.
Yeah. And I love
seriously.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe you're worthy because you're striving to better yourself.
That's the, in Gifts of Imperfection by Brené Brown, she says, yeah, like you're worthy because you're human.
Yeah. You're worthy because you're here. You're worthy. I mean, you get to, that's the beautiful thing. You get to decide your worthiness. Nobody is standing over you with a W to put on your forehead if you're worthy.
Right.
Right. Nobody gets to make that choice but you. And that's what's so amazing about this work is that not only do we get to choose what we think, we get to choose who we are, who we want to be, what we're feeling, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
So worthiness and perfection don't really go together unless we decide they do. And if we decide they do, then we've got a long haul uphill to get there.
Right.
Right. Worthiness could be imperfect. So anyway, I asked you about perfection because I read one time, or maybe I heard Corinne say it sticks in my brain that perfectionists have a fear of failure. They have a fear of making mistakes. Mm-hmm. So what, and I am a recovering perfectionist. Okay. And I would find myself not trying things, not doing things if I didn't think I could be perfect at it, because I didn't want to suck at it.
Right.
I didn't want to get it wrong. Mm. So there was either do it perfectly or nothing. Right.
Right.
And right. Nothing I did was perfect. So I was pretty much doing nothing.
Right.
I was making excuses for not doing anything. So if you can take off that layer of perfectionism and trying to do it perfectly and just put one foot in front of the other, mm-hmm. and figure it out, like Varin says, then you get further a whole lot faster than trying to do it perfectly. You get.
Yeah. And I find the, it's the beat down when you make a mistake. Mm-hmm. Right. And so being, trying to kind of reframe that a little bit, that when you make a mistake, do something. And try to, in some respects, thinking about like, well, what would I say to my best friend if they told me that story?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So it's kind of like that idea of love yourself like your best friend too. Right. So to sort of reframe that instead of like, okay, why am I so hard on myself about this, you know, mistake that I made? Whereas if my best friend told me the same story, I'd say, oh, geez, that's too bad. Sounds like you learned from it. Right.
Yeah. To me, the biggest thing to do with mistakes is to realize what not to do again. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. Okay, I made a mistake. I can fix it, right? And I've learned something. I've learned amazing things about what not to do or what to do in order to, you know, not make the same mistake again. So that if we take that knowledge of that mistake and make it an opportunity to figure something out, then that the mistake becomes a gift. The failure becomes a gift.
Right.
Given yourself, because you're not judging yourself over it anymore. You've got your lab coat on and you're deciding what you've learned. So you've given yourself the gift of a new idea or a new concept or a new path or whatever, because you've made a mistake and because you haven't layered on a bunch of judgment about it.
Yeah.
Pretty cool way to think about it. I can tell you, working for Corinne, she wants us making mistakes all the time, because that means we're doing stuff. That means we're out there. We're trying, we're moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I, you know, and I think when I'm a leader and I don't expect my team people to be perfect either. Right. But it's interesting. These just, you know, some of these old shitties that come up that you need to kind of keep working on. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You need to recognize them. You need to call them out. You need to say, where is my little guy? Need to say, here you are. I see you, mm-hmm. right? There you are. I see you, but you don't get to run the show today.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see myself thinking that. Yeah. But you can sit right here in my chair. You can mm-hmm. do whatever, but you're not taking me down today. I'm not letting you affect my feelings line or my do line.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Does that help?
Very helpful. Very helpful. And it's an overwhelm. It's a big topic to unpack. So, you know, really, really value that. And I've been doing a lot of work on, you know, on the self, kind of that self-worth, self-doubt, my own opinion of myself since camp really last fall and before that. So bit of a success shout out, I think, on that as well. Good. And good. So thank you for the opportunity to come on. And just to mention, I've been a member since last June, mm-hmm. and a groupie before that, and I've lost over 90 pounds. So,
oh my gosh, that's so good.
Thank you.
Congratulations. And, yeah,
shout out to my accountability groups, like including the lifers that are helping me right now. Oh. But yeah, so thanks so much. Cause like I said, this is the first time I ever got on coached. And so,
mm-hmm. Well, I'm proud of you. You got on here for the first time and you were nervous and you've told us all the things and pounds and wow. Yeah. That's awesome. So,
thank you. Thank you for everything. And yeah, that's very helpful. I really like the because piece and, and keep kind of working and acknowledging them and addressing those.
Yeah. Yeah. Asking yourself, is this true? is mm-hmm. really helpful to me, you know, because when I get caught in, I'm not good enough, I can find all the reasons. I'm not a good enough yeah. wife. I'm not a good enough coach. I'm not a good enough mom. Right. I'm not right. good enough, you know, whatever. And then if I go back with an open mind and really look at it with my lab coat on, mm-hmm. of course I'm a good enough wife. I've been married for 34 years. I must be good enough. Well, of course I'm a good enough coach. I've got people coming to my calls and raising my hands. I must be right. good enough. You know, right. it's just right. starting to question some of those niggly little thoughts mm-hmm. really helps mm-hmm. a lot too.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's really good.
All right.
Thank you.
See you later. You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Megan, you're next. There you are.
Hi.
Oh, hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
I forgot my notes. Wait one second.
Okay. Well, I'll talk for a minute. So your opinion of yourself is likely a collection of thoughts. So I'm really interested to see how many different types of thoughts come up in coaching. So we already have some perfectionism, some need to do more and need to be better. What you bringing?
When I was listening to you earlier, your first 10 minutes, and mm-hmm. you were speaking about doing more for others than you do for yourself, loving, giving that love, treating them, and we should be doing that for ourselves. Something came up that just happened when I was coming in here. Okay. My husband, I said, I'm going on a Zoom. I'm going to be in my office. And he said, you've been on a Zoom all day. Why do you want to go back on a Zoom? And it's his way of not of wanting my attention, not wanting me to come on. And then he said to me, how long are you going to be on there? And then he said, are you really going to go in there? So my question is how do you choose? How do you choose where to give all that attention and give it to yourself when there's such demands all the time? And my daughter is very demanding also. So I find that I give in to her demands, even if I wanted to do something for myself. And I don't know where that choice comes, like how you make that choice.
Well, how did you make it this time? What was your reasoning this time?
I whispered to him, I said, it's on self-love. I'll be in my office.
Okay. So when you did that, what were you feeling?
You feel a little guilt because he's worked all day and he likes to sit and watch a movie at night with me.
So why did you feel guilty?
Well, because he definitely puts it out there that he'd rather me be in there with him.
Okay. So your thought is he'd rather me be in there with him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you chose to come on Zoom. And look, you're being coached.
I know. Okay.
So why did you choose to come to the Zoom?
Because this was more important.
Than what?
Spending another night with him, and then he falls asleep within 20 minutes anyways.
Why was it more important?
Because I'm important too.
Oh, really?
I am, but how do you make that choice? Like, this is my thing. Do I
owe myself? You made the choice. Why are you asking me how to do it? You did it.
I did it this time. Right. I don't know.
For what reason?
Because there's an expectation.
For what reason did you make, why did you make this choice to come on the Zoom?
Because because I've been looking forward to it all day long. I had it on my calendar and on my to-do list and my plan today.
So maybe it's as simple as because it's important to me to be on the Zoom tonight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? Maybe mm-hmm. that's all it is.
Yeah. I just don't know. I don't always make that choice. And I often let things slide that I wanted for myself. that I don't get to have.
But do you let them slide out of love for other people? Mm-hmm. Do you let them slide? You know, I think there's a balance here. I think this is a really good topic, okay? Because you can still love yourself when you're doing for other people, right? But if you go, this is where people pleasing comes in. Okay, if you had ditched the Zoom and gone to sit down with your husband and you fell asleep in 20 minutes watching TV, you just sat there and go, mad, blah, blah, yeah. blah, and I gave up my blah, blah, blah for you, you know, expecting him to be all kinds of happy and gracious and thankful and everything. When he's not, he's just doing his thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? So what you, in giving up the Zoom and going to sit with him, you expected him to react in a certain way. Oh, honey, I appreciate you coming. I just love you. All the things you wanted to elicit a reaction from him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Instead, he's up there. He's blessed. What's his name?
Marcel.
Mm-hmm. He's just in there going, I just don't get it. She comes in here every night and watches TV with me. I don't know. I just don't get. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, probably no drama at all. Probably no. When you finish, he's going to be out there asleep on the couch.
I know.
Or like, hey, Zoom over. We're the ones who put the drama in it.
I know.
When we try to elicit that reaction.
Yeah.
Okay. And when you're trying to please someone and elicit that reaction, you're not being authentically you. You're not loving yourself. So when you do things for other people, do them because you love doing them. You love giving those things. Because you love how it feels inside when you make that choice.
Mm-hmm.
You would have made that choice and not loved how you felt inside.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
If you have your own self-regard and your own self-concept going strong, it's not going to matter when you decide to give to someone else.
Mm, true. Yep. So it's about that balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
Yeah.
It really, really does. And yes. And I did choose this tonight. Mm-hmm. And I chose myself.
I am not sitting on this call saying everybody needs to go and choose a big bath and a glass of wine and take care of yourselves tonight. What mm-hmm. I'm saying is your opinion of yourself matters in how mm-hmm. you show up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how your own self-regard and your own self-concept and why you do things, the thoughts and the feelings behind your do line about you and how you show up make all the difference.
Yeah.
You told me there's such demands on my time.
Mm-hmm.
How does that feel? Demand. We're back to exhausting.
Right. You know, when you work all day long and then when work's over, it's everything all, you know, a whole pile of stuff all over again. And I have a list of my own that I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That I make. So yeah, it's balanced.
So what if you were to say instead, knowing that your people are going to need you when you get home,
mm-hmm.
I love how I show up for my husband and my daughter. I love how I show up as their mom and the wife. Rather than there's such demands on my time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Changes your entire perspective.
Perspective, yeah.
Right. Do you like how you show up as a wife and a mom?
Oh yeah. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
I do.
So that's the thought you need to nurture.
I do, and they love me loving them.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Yeah. And I do have to just have more of a balance. So I feel good and I'm important too.
Yeah.
Okay.
So to back up this thought, I love how I show up as a wife and a mom. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in order to show up that way, you do things that you take care of yourself by doing, like coming on a coaching call.
Mm-hmm. Right. 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 Yes. And your first 10 minutes when this came in my head, I just hit the hand button immediately because that just spoke to me like, that just happened.
Yeah. You were supposed to be here tonight.
Yeah, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. I'm going to rewatch this.
Okay. Thank you. So that helped. Good. All right.
Sure. So,
see ya.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Paige? Paige Allen. And then I have Helen. Try to get through two more before we go.
All right. Here I am.
Right.
Going upstairs.
Okay.
So, yeah. Little nervous, so bear with me.
Are you a first timer too?
I am a first timer.
All right. I love first timers.
Yeah. So, here, let me stop moving for you. So self-love, I'm very similar to the first caller in that mm-hmm. I was doing a lot of work on like identifying why I don't feel enough, because I think that's what it comes down to. And mm-hmm. I've got a lot of those same perfectionistic tendencies. So both my parents are teachers and they never put any pressure on me, but I think I always had to be perfect to set myself aside from their 100 and some odd students to like really get myself out there. And that's just kind of paralyzed me in that, like you said, like I just don't want to fail. So I took foreign language for years and years and years and studied abroad. And I never spoke the language because I didn't want to say something wrong. Like I had to say it, and it's just this kind of like paralyzing, mm-hmm. I don't want to get it wrong. Yeah. And so I don't know if that's...
You just proved my point about perfectionists, right?
Yeah.
When I was absolutely. Talking about the fear of failure, that's right. You're yeah. paralyzed because you were afraid you were going to get it wrong. What's yeah. the worst thing? Let's just ask this. What's the worst thing that could have happened if you had not gotten it perfectly right? What's the worst thing that could have happened?
In my head, it was always, I was going to be completely embarrassed.
Which, okay, but that's in your head.
Yeah.
Let's just say you're standing at the base of the Eiffel Tower and you go, merci beaucoup. Do you think somebody's not going to understand you?
Yeah.
What's the worst thing that they're going to happen? Yeah, they're going to go.
The worst thing that they would start speaking English to me, because of course that would be.
Right, which would be amazing. Right. Even though but seriously, I think that's such a powerful thing to say, to ask yourself when you're paralyzed in perfectionism, if I get this wrong, what is the worst thing that's going to happen outside of my head, outside of my own self-judgment? What's the worst thing that's going to happen?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, really, it makes such a huge difference. When I'm at this desk and I'm sitting here going, I don't know what to do next. I really want to make this decision this way. And I'll sit there and I'll say, what's the worst thing that can happen?
Yeah.
Right. And it's usually yeah. something I can fix.
Right.
Right. Or something that I can catch.
Yeah. Or something that's not a big deal.
Right. Our drama, our thoughts about ourselves and about how we'll fail or we'll look or we'll be embarrassed or somebody else will think. All those thoughts are what gets in our way of actually creating some pretty amazing results. You learned a foreign language for years and didn't use it because you were paralyzed.
Right. 100%. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I'm just trying to like reconcile that now mm-hmm. and move forward, because that's that same paralysis is showing up elsewhere. Like, I know my eating late at night is linked to my thoughts of I should be doing more. And so I'm eating to not feel that disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
And then when
I'm not doing more because you're eating.
Right.
I mean, that goes without saying, right? So it's kind of like that cycle. I should be doing more, feel whatever the feeling is. What's the feeling?
Disappointment.
Disappointment. So you eat, which means you're not doing more. So you feel more disappointment. So you eat some more, right? It's right. That, it's that cycle.
Yeah.
And I'm sure along with eating comes a little bit of a beat down if you're pretty hard on yourself.
Yeah. It's interesting. I don't hear it. Like I'm not consciously, I must be thinking that subconsciously, but in the moment I'm just, I'm buffering. I'm watching whatever TV I'm eating.
What if I should be doing more is the beat down?
Okay.
Because that's a little self-judgment thought, don't you think? It's a sneaky one, like I was talking about with the first person. It's sneaky.
Yeah. Yeah.
It should be, that's not so bad, right? Yeah, it has you. But yet it has you eating at night.
Right. Yeah. And that's one that I think constantly throughout the day in multiple like areas of my life. So.
So ask yourself, what more should I be doing? Why do I think I should be doing more? Why is this not enough?
I'm trying to meet expectations that I'm putting on myself.
Yeah, I was going to say whose expectations.
Oh yeah, they're definitely mine. Like they're, that's one of the main like big realizations that I've come with no BS is I'm putting all this pressure on myself. Like I'm trying to read my husband's mind, like society's mind for like how I should be raising my kids, that kind of stuff. It's all my own judgments of myself.
Yeah. And if you were to peel away all those judgments, all the time you spend on the judgments, you would have a whole lot more time for productive action.
Right.
So if you're judging yourself about parenting your kids, you know, peel away that time that you spend judging yourself, you might actually be hanging out with the kids.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a camp we did coaches interviews. It might have been July. And I said, I'm the queen of self-judgment. I am. I'm very good at judging myself. And so I'm only telling you what I've learned, what I see myself doing. Right? Mm-hmm. If I am in the beatdown spiral and I am telling myself those sneaky little things like, I should have caught that. I should have done that better. Instead of then catching it, I should have caught it. I should have asked that question. Then I'm just spinning out. I'm just spending emotional energy on shoulds rather than actually saying, that's something I can learn from. Check. Next. Yeah. That's something I can learn from. Check. Next. You know, instead of sitting in that muck of self-judgment. Yeah. Okay. If you can, I challenge you to do the same exercise that I did. Write down all the ways, all the reasons, all the ways in your life you're not good enough. Write them down. Mm-hmm. I'm not a good enough wife. I'm not a good enough teacher. I'm not a good enough parent. I'm not good. All of them. I came up with, I think in my scribbles, I came up with 9 different places I wasn't good enough in my life. That's a lot of my life.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I went back and I asked myself, is this true? Yes or no? Is this, 100% true? Of course, they were all no's. And then I had to say why. Okay. And I kept that right here on my desk for a long time. Because every time I would say, I didn't do that well enough, or I'm not good enough, I would look and see the reason why it wasn't true. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's breaking that thought because I can sometimes catch myself when I'm wasting mental energy having an imaginary argument.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to break out of it. Like sometimes I'll even be like, you're spinning.
Mm-hmm.
And then I keep spinning. So it's just getting more practiced at stopping it.
You have to create those answers to those thoughts that have you spinning out. Okay, so when you say, I don't feel good, I'm not good enough, you have to have an answer for it. And that's what stops the spinning. So when I said, like the example that I used, I'm not a good enough wife, well, of course I am. I've been married for 33 years. I must be good enough. Yeah. That stops the spinning. It stops me worrying about, stops me getting out of his head.
Okay. Right.
I mean, seriously. And when I tell myself, I got to stick to my own head, I can't be in his, because I really don't know what he's thinking.
Right.
Then it kind of turns down the temperature for me.
Okay.
So that's what I encourage you to do, is to go ahead and prepare the answers for those thoughts, so that when you see yourself starting to spin out, all you got to do is grab that paper and go, oh, wait, I remember.
Right.
I am good enough, and here's why. That's just a thought that I'm thinking right now. Because if you can, make that shift, and it's gonna take time. It's gonna take little 1%, right, to make that shift, and your opinion of yourself starts to change to, maybe I am good enough today, right now, for now. Then you show up so differently.
Right.
Your due line becomes so much more productive.
Right.
And your feelings line, you know, is not the self-doubt monster anymore. It's the content or acceptance or satisfied. It's, you know, it's one of those mid feelings that feels pretty good compared to self-doubt.
Right.
That makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So you have an assignment. You got homework.
Yeah, I got homework. I can definitely do that.
You can top 9. 9 was a good number. I wish I could find that. I need to find that journal. That was a good one.
I'll get to work on that. Thank you so much, Kathy. Good. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. See ya.
Yeah. Bye.
Helen, you are next.
Hi there.
Hello. Am I sideways? Yes, there you are.
Awesome. Sorry, ooh, I dropped my phone. I got it. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Helen?
I'm good. This is my first time coaching, and I've been part of the tribe for 2.5 years.
Oh my goodness. I am honored that you chose my call after 2.5 years.
Spoke to me today, and I feel like what you've been talking to about with the other ladies has really been answering a lot of my questions, but not questions, but thoughts. Mm-hmm. And the thing I was thinking about is that I have such a hard time putting me first. Mm-hmm. It's so easy. I feel very emotional about this. It's so easy to do for others. Like, I feel like I get asked to do for others all the time, and I love doing it. It actually is. It makes me really happy to see things I do support other people. But then at the end of the day, I feel like I don't leave a lot of time for myself, and I feel like I'm in a constant state of overwhelm. Like, I can never catch up.
What is it you can't catch up with?
Just my own things to do. I'm single, so even putting myself out there, feeling like that I can't get myself confident or sure of myself enough to put myself out there. Like, I get told all the time, you have everything. And I do. I feel very positive about most parts of my life. I have a great business. I have really great friendships. I have really great relationships with my family. But it's funny. I've had like random conversations out of the blue from someone very close to me who was like, yeah, you have this, you have that, yeah, you have this. You just need to work on your appearance and then you'll get everything. And it was like out of the blue and a blow to my confidence, to my feelings.
Why was it a blow to your confidence? They just said words.
Because I believe it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Because they confirmed what you already believed.
Yeah.
It doesn't have anything to do with being a good friend or not. It has to do with what you meant. No, I'm looking at a comment.
Oh, okay.
It has to do with what Helen made those words mean.
I don't think that either. And that person realized right away mm-hmm. that what they said was like shocking to me. It was not expected.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it was so, not. And we're
if you,
still
good. If you felt like you were 100% all in with yourself and believing in yourself and your opinion of yourself was amazing, they would have been, you'd have been like, you don't need it. I'm awesome. Just how I am.
Because most of the time, I do tell myself I'm awesome. Like, I think I'm like the best aunt. I think I'm an amazing sister. My family tells me that, like, I believe it. It's not mm-hmm. even a question to me about
you
that.
You are an amazing aunt, an amazing sister, mm-hmm. and love doing things for other people.
Mm-hmm.
But you're choosing them all the time over doing things for yourself. Why?
Because I love spending time with them. I love.
Then why is this a problem?
It's not that's not a problem. I don't feel that that's the problem. Mm-hmm. You said
it's so easy to do for others. I have a hard time putting me first. Those are your words.
Yeah, because I feel like in order for me to move on, I need to put more effort into the things that are holding me back. And I think it involves making myself vulnerable, and that's scary.
Why? Is it? And we need to tie this back to how you feel about yourself.
I think, so again, like I said, a lot of the things you were saying earlier spoke to me as in perfectionist, and putting myself out there leads to the possibility of rejection. And I have such a hard time with that. I have a hard time
mm-hmm.
if I, what was it? You said something about terrified of making a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I have that feeling all the time that if I feel like I've hurt somebody's feelings or I forgot to do something, or all of a sudden I'll have this panic and I have to force myself to stop and move on, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. It's because you're questioning yourself all the time.
Yes.
And it's easier to do things for other people because then you don't have to worry about what's going on in your own head.
Yeah, I would agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you spend just a little bit of time and start working on up-leveling your thoughts about yourself, it's not going to take any time away from what you do for other people. In fact, it is going to enhance how you feel about yourself as you do things for other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can marry those two things together. Instead of doing things for other people to distract yourself from doing things for yourself, you can think, I am such an amazing person. I care about myself so much that I get to do all this for other people as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, I do feel that doing for others does make me feel happy. Like, it's not that it's dragging me down. It's just, it's the fear of the unknown. Like, I feel sure of myself in those areas.
So why do you like doing things for other people so well?
For me, I feel like giving to someone just shows someone how much I love them.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me feel good.
Okay. So you do it from a place of really, of service, of servitude, mm-hmm. which is a beautiful place to do that from.
Actually, I did that quiz where the acts of love or acts of whatever. And service. I forget what it's called.
Five love languages.
That's it.
Yeah. Acts of service is your love language. That's beautiful. 100%. And you know that about yourself, and you love that about yourself, right?
I do.
So I do. What if you were to create acts of service for yourself? Then not only would you be giving, you'd be receiving acts of service. What if you were to think about it in those terms?
No, I think you're right. I just have to think about how I can, what kind of acts of service for myself. I do things for myself, but that's not what I'm thinking is what I need. You know, I don't know if that makes sense.
What do you think you need?
I think I need to put the work in myself in the areas I'm afraid to. Because without moving forward in those directions, I'm just sitting in a standstill.
Yeah. So what areas are you afraid to work on?
Well, I'm afraid of putting myself out there.
For dating?
Yeah.
What's the worst thing that can happen? Somebody says, it's a no.
Says no. I said no.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Are you going to, let's say some dude comes on the app and he looks at your profile and stuff and he goes, it's a no. Would you even want him anyway if he starts with it's a no?
No.
You could say, thank you, called that one out, okay. Next.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so back to what's the worst thing that can happen, right?
True.
Tell me another place you're afraid to work.
I feel as though, I know it's my own thoughts that people judge the way I appear, like my appearance.
Okay.
And I have all these like amazing clothes that I've had for years that I wish I could wear. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I can't feel young and fun without, like, I don't know if that's even what I'm thinking, but without it looking like wrong on me.
Okay. So two things going on here. I'm gonna give you the wisdom bombs. You ready?
Yep.
people are judging you. Mm-hmm. That's what we do.
True. It's true.
Yeah. Don't ever kid yourself that people aren't judging you. You're judging me right now. I don't know what you're saying.
I think you're fantastic.
Okay, that's a judgment. Yes. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know how many people on this call right now who are, you know, they have opinions,
mm-hmm.
right? That's what a judgment is. Judgment isn't always bad. It's just an opinion. Mm-hmm. You stand up, you give a speech, people are going to have an opinion about your speech. Right?
That's true.
So when you're worried about other people's judgments, you are likely having those judgments in your own mind. If you have already projected that someone is judging what you're wearing, it's because you're worried about what you're wearing.
Mm-hmm.
That's your second wisdom bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Or else, you know, do you ever worry that somebody's judging your hair? Somebody's thinking about your hair?
I don't, not really.
No, probably because you like your hair.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
But if you're worried about clothes or you're worried about, you know, something else,
yeah,
you're automatically projecting that judgment onto someone else when they could be thinking it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not. We usually give people a whole lot more thoughts than they actually have.
It's true. And what? It's so funny because I've avoided coming on a call so many times just because I'm like, I know what you're going to say, because logically I tell myself the same thing.
Yeah.
All the time. And I'm like, yeah. I even thought about putting my hand down because I'm like, oh, what she just said makes sense.
Well, here's the last thing I'll leave you with. Mm-hmm. When you have that logic part of your brain that's engaged and you know, that's just a thought. I can't, you know, I'm thinking that again or whatever. Just let that logic brain have the last word. invite the conversation into your head. That back part of your brain's just going, chattering, right? Mm-hmm. You shouldn't wear that. What do people think? Blah, blah, blah. You know, whatever. It's over here talking. Have that logic brain come in and say, you know, that's just a thought. You know, you're just projecting that opinion onto somebody else. Just let the logic, I got my little hand going. Let the logical side of your brain have the last word.
Yeah.
Invite that conversation in. It's just like I was telling Paige, go ahead. You know what that, you know what your habit brain is going to tell you. You know all the self-judgy thoughts that are going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and prepare answers for them with your logic brain.
Mm-hmm. I actually wrote what you down because
let it have the last word. Because the logical part of your brain has your best interests in mind. It's the one trying to improve your opinion of yourself so that you can go out in the world and do amazing things. Live your, what is it? No BS women, live your best life.
Yes, exactly.
That's what your logic brain wants for you.
Mm-hmm.
So just let it have the last word. The habit brain is going to shoot up all that stuff to you as long as you continue to react to it. As long as you continue to give it emphasis, it's going to say, okay, this one works. We'll just keep this one in the queue. But the more you begin to answer it with the logical brain, the quieter the primal brain gets on those self-doubt thoughts. I promise you, it works.
That's magical.
It makes so much sense because the logic brain just kind of takes over.
Yeah.
And then when the habit brain sees the response the logic brain's getting from its thought, it'll begin to adopt the logic brain thoughts. And you won't have to have the conversation anymore. Just got to practice.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, no, this has been great. I appreciate you listening to me.
You are very welcome. You're very welcome. Got anything else?
No, I think for now that's enough for me.
Okay.
Maybe I'll hop on again another time.
All right. Sounds good. See ya. All right. I got a couple of things in the Q&A real quick. Let's see what we got. As a physician and a mom, I struggle with imposter syndrome. I hear accolades that I'm doing a good job, but I have a hard time accepting that I'm doing anything more than simply treading water. That's because you have a thought, okay? You have a thought. I'm just treading water here. It's probably one of those. Corinne actually caught me on this one. I'm doing the best I can. It's a sneaky thought. I'm doing the best I can. How does that feel? To me, it feels like yearning. When I say, I'm doing the best I can, it feels like yearning. It feels like not quite good enough. So when it comes to imposter syndrome, that's another collection of thoughts. It's you judging yourself as not being good enough at what you're doing. So if you're a doctor and you're, you know, running in there and you're doing your thing and you're, you know, seeing your patients and you're doing your charts and you're moving on and you have the thought, I saw all my patients today, got all my work done, ready for the next thing. That feels like business as usual. But if you have the thought, I don't know if I did that right. I don't know if I'm getting this right. I don't know if I'm good enough. That's where imposter syndrome comes in. That's where you start to question everything you do. And it's not going to help you. Your opinion of yourself is so important. You know, sometimes you just have to back up and say, everything turned out okay today, so I must be doing all right. I'm learning how to accept the person that I am and the gifts that I have. Just like that you're a badass quote, right? I'm unique. I am here to do unique things. I hope that helps. Hi, Kathy. I really want to share my list that I came up with this past week. After years and years of self-loathing, I got me some self-love. That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm so glad. Self-love, y'all. It's some of our best work that we can do. It is some of the most important work that we can do. Because just like I was showing you, my little thoughts on my whiteboard, if you're running around with I'm not good enough, it just doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good in your body. It makes my stomach hurt. Okay. That self-doubt makes my stomach hurt. Makes my throat constrict. You know, and when I feel like that, I'm not at my best. I'm not doing my best work. But when I have the thought, I am exactly where I'm supposed to be, I'm doing the work I'm supposed to do. When I practice the thought, I'm the perfect person to do this job, then I feel better and I show up better. Your opinion of yourself affects how you show up in the world, and it is the most important work that you'll do. So I encourage every single one of you to take the self-love course, to do the worksheets, to do the work, to show up for yourself, to show yourself that you are worth the work, to answer that question every single day in your planner. You know, why am I worth the work today? What does it say? Something like that. I am worth this work today. I'm worthy because. Find some small reason you're worthy. It's because I'm on this earth. Because I have been given, just like Jensen Sharo says, I have been given unique gifts. Because I'm kind of a big deal. Now, just think about that. And when you begin to build your self-concept and your self-regard and your self-worth, your life begins to change because your feelings level up and your actions level up. So I hope this was helpful to everyone. I feel really, really strongly about it because it's some of the best work that I've done. And if you have any questions, if you have any help you need on self-regard and self-worth, hit us up and ask coaches. The coaches are amazing, y'all. They are some super good people, super smart and ready to help you. Okay? Y'all have a good evening. Take care.